Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. A foreign missionary told me about coming to a village where the people had actually burnt their own crops. They didn't have anything left to live on. They didn't even have seed to plant a new crop. All of this because their shaman had convinced them that the spirits were angry at them and needed to be appeased. This missionary also pointed out that when such people who believe in spirits are told about Jesus, they'll often respond by suggesting that we test it out. Bring a test to Jesus and a test to the spirits and see which one is able to give the best physical resolution of the problem. But that's manipulating Jesus for our physical benefit instead of trusting in Him for our salvation and following His Word. And yet, what about us? Do we sometimes approach Jesus the very same way? If you solve this problem for me, then I'll give you an offering. Then I'll obey your commandment. That also is, of course, manipulating the Lord for our own physical benefit. Of course, it is a completely different thing if the Lord Himself comes to us and offers us a test. And that's, of course, what our text records. Not outside of faith, but within the framework of faith, the Lord graciously came to the children of Israel, saying, because I want you to grow in faith, I'll give you an opportunity to test me. Bring in the tithes and see if I don't open the windows of heaven to provide more, so much there's not room enough to receive it. So the question comes up, has God offered you and me such a test? Well, He certainly has not, in the sense of something to replace having faith in Jesus as our Savior, a physical proof instead of faith. A physical proof of the benefits physically in following Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, for without faith, namely faith in Jesus as our Savior, it is impossible to please God. So if we're proposing such a test of God, we're the ones who are already failing the test of faith. And yet, within the framework of faith, God does so desire that your faith grow and bloom, that He does invite us to put Him to the test. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put back into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 following. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. It's on the basis of such passages that many have taught what's been called a prosperity gospel, where they claim that God is promising you that if you invest in God, and they mean by that their ministry, he's going to give you a physical reward 10 times. They'll have even promised 100 times what you have given. But that is manipulating God for our physical benefit. Did you notice in those passages which I read what God did actually promise? Not a 100-fold physical reward, but he promised food and clothing for today. He promised grace to abound, sufficient for every good work. So yes, within the framework of trusting Jesus as your Savior, God does graciously challenge you to put him to the test, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and see if he does not open the windows of heaven to provide grace sufficient for every situation. Jesus, when he walked on this earth in our behalf, did not put God to the test. He put himself to the test, the ultimate test of love for you and me. He accepted the mockery of sinners. He endured that horrible, fiery pain of being nailed to the cross. He endured God-forsakenness that he might bear the penalty for the guilt of your sins and mine. And it's his love that melts our thankless hearts of stone. His love that moves us then to indeed seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and see if God does not open the windows of heaven to give you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 442, stanzas 1 and 2. 442, stanzas 1 and 2. Spend